Our text this morning is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. We're going to talk about time this morning. Time is a great resource, but often abused. We have focused upon time this week because the clocks were changed. I'm appreciative of the fact that someone changed the clock here in the auditorium, so I might see when it's appropriate to stop. It might be a very short sermon had somebody not changed the clock, and I looked at it and saw that it was well after 12 o'clock. I was told Wednesday night that negative preaching is anything that goes past 12. And so I don't want to spend all of our time on negative preaching today. However, we do need to look at time. We need to be aware of our time and what we use it for. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15, beginning, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And as was read in our scripture reading this morning, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5 also tells us that we are to use our time properly, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. We just lost an hour as daylight savings time for the year has just ended, and I always look at it from the standpoint of gaining an hour or losing an hour. Maybe we gained an hour, I'm not sure. All I know is it'll take me a week to get straightened out on it, and then sometime later on next year I'll have to work it out the other way. But someone has said, and wisely so, that time is the stuff life is made of. You stop and think about it. Time was created for us, for our benefit, so that we might mark the seasons and the days and the hours and all of these things. And we all live on limited time. I know in looking back at life and our period of time on this earth, we often think sometimes that we have a lot of time remaining. We don't know that. But sometimes looking back, we think we've been here a long time. Have we? But we all need to be aware of the fact that we have a limited time. All have the same amount of time in the week, but how do we use it? That's what's important. And understand that time, once passed, cannot be regained. Oh, I don't know how many times I've heard people come up with the shoulda, coulda, woulda statement. Or if I could go back and redo. Once time is gone, it's gone. And it cannot be regained. In Job chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, we can see that our days are few upon the earth. And he described it in the midst of his persecution as being full of trouble. But he also stated that we are a few days. Man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And so Job would have us know that our time on earth is limited. And though we look back and think we've been here a long time, or we look ahead and think, well, I've got a long time to go, it is still limited. But because we have been given this great thing called time by the Lord, we have a tremendous responsibility, and more so as Christians, to use our time wisely, to use it properly, or as our text says, redeeming the time. As we contemplate time, you can go to the Bible and turn to a number of different passages regarding time, and we're going to do that this morning. And some of the things that this points out to us is, first and foremost, in Psalms chapter 39 and verse 4, that we must measure our days. One of the reasons, according to this passage, is that we need to measure our days. It says that we can know how limited or frail we are. Many of us are legends in our own minds. We think that we are of great strength or of great power or great ability and that sort of thing. But we need to understand that that's only temporary. We will not always live here on this earth. We will not always occupy these bodies. And we will not always have the abilities and the talents, the strength that we have now. The psalmist wrote, is given direction by the Spirit, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. One of the greatest things that a person must realize in order to be able to do something is what he cannot do. One of the greatest things for us to realize is how weak we are or how frail we are and how that we need help and that we can only do what we can do while here on this earth. In Psalms 90 in verse 12, we also are told that we are to number our days, and there is a specific reason for that. We'll talk a little later on in the lesson this morning about those who procrastinate or who put off things until another time. But the psalmist here is directed and so wrote, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So many throughout the world today are marking time, looking at time as it passes, such and such a date, such and such a month, such and such a year, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, this is my goal, and that sort of thing. But notice that the psalmist says that we are to use it to apply our hearts unto wisdom. What he indicates, and what we find other places throughout the Word, is that to apply our hearts to wisdom is to look into those things which God has given us, so that we might use our time properly. Talking to one of our members who's having difficulty, fortunately a difficulty that I don't have, and that's waking up in the middle of the night and can't go back to sleep. I wake up in the middle of the night, I think we all do occasionally, but I have no trouble whatsoever going back to sleep. But this person says, well, I got up and I read the Bible. What a great way to use your time. Well, you can't sleep. What are you going to do? Oh, there's a number of things you could do. But we need to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Why? Well, according to James chapter 4 and verse 14, we see the reason. All of us look and say, tomorrow, next year, next month. James tells us, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What's going to happen to you tomorrow? Do you know? Now, Lord willing, we'll do this or we'll do that. But we have no idea if tomorrow is even ours. You know, it's interesting. I'll read the rest of the verse here in just a minute. But it's interesting. We always look toward tomorrow, and you realize that tomorrow never comes, because when it gets here, it's now today. And when it's gone, it's yesterday. And so we continue to look for tomorrow. But what does James say? You don't know what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Think, if you will, of those who you have lost. Loved ones who were very instrumental in your life. Those who you held dear. Those who still cause the pain within your heart as you think of them and realize the loss that you have and think how little time they had. Or think of time, the time that has passed. You know, when someone has departed this earth and we talk about them, sometimes we're amazed at how long it's been or how long it seems. Or sometimes we think, well, it's been X number of years, but it really seems like only a short period of time. Our life is a vapor. It appears for a little time and it vanishes away. And so for that, we need to take care that our days may be lengthened. We need to do those things which would promote longevity. You know, it's interesting to me that there are those that have ideas relative to longevity of life. People think that, you know, certain running and exercise and a number of different things will help you live longer, and may very well do so. Jack LaLanne lived to be well into his 90s, and as I understand, could still do a one-arm push-up at 90 years old. It's all I can do to get myself up off the ground with two hands. But he did those things so that he might live longer. But understand, even though our life may be extended somewhat, it's not going to extend forever. This passage tells us so in Psalms chapter 90 and verse 10. we understand from this that the days of our years are 70 years. Now, in case you don't know what that means 70 years, right? I can see some people thinking right now, well, I'm on borrowed time. And yes, we all are on borrowed time. But if by reason, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. We're not going to live forever. We're not going to be able to enjoy time, but just so long. That's why we are to redeem the time, as we read in our text, Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We are to spend our time preparing for that which is beyond. And notice that which is beyond has not time associated with it. Oh, there's a beginning to our entrance into heaven, but there will be no end. By the same token, there's a beginning for the entrance into condemnation. Or for those who want it very plain, there's an entrance into hell that will have a beginning. But it will not have an end because there's no time there. We're to redeem the time because the days are evil. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 6, we see where Jesus is telling about a group of people, and he shows that the using of time needs to start where you are. You know, we all look back on our lives as you turn to that passage and we think, you know, I could have done this different. But what would have happened had I done this instead of that? How would it have affected this person or that person or me? Or what if I would have made this choice or that choice? But notice that Jesus teaches in Matthew 20 and verse 6, and about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle. In other words, those who should have been working had spent their whole day being idle, and then he approached them, at this master did, at the 11th hour, and he said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? He wanted them to redeem the time. Well, the answer I think they gave was, no man has hired us. And he said, here, go into the field and labor, and I will give thee that which is just. It doesn't matter if you're in your first hour or your 11th hour. Start from where you are and redeem the time. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13, we'll find out about those who are idle, what it brings, what it causes. There's the Spirit had the Apostle Paul write to Timothy. He said, and with all they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. We've all heard it. Idleness is the devil's workshop. When you don't have something to do, some purpose, some existence that needs, or some things that need to be carried out during your existence here on earth, you begin to be idle. And when you're idle, then your mind begins to wander. And according to this, you possibly could become tattlers and busybodies. We need to redeem the time. We must fight procrastination daily. Now, you know, it used to be that people lived by the idea, don't ever do today what you can put off till tomorrow. But we've already seen this morning that when we put things off until tomorrow, we might not very well have time to do them. I have no doubt that many have departed this life and come to their senses in torment and have said, I wish I had one more hour. I wish I had a little more time in which I might serve God and do His will. But they procrastinated. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 talks about this procrastination and how that procrastination has no place when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to serving God. For He has said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. A as we turn to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. We see the same thing being depicted in this letter to these Hebrews. Whereas the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. There was an example in their history that they knew of, in which they were tempted in the wilderness. And they refused to obey. But they were told now to hear his voice. In other words, look into his word. This is how the Spirit speaks to us today. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, we're told, also boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Very similar to what we read in James chapter 4. We see that people procrastinate, or people look at their time and they think they have more than they do, and so they put off doing the things that are important. In Luke chapter 12, verses 16 and following, we find a parable of Jesus Christ. We're very familiar with this, and it's about the rich man who had much. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat. Drink and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This fella used his time for things of the world. He used this time for self. He used this time to provide for himself. And many today use their time to provide for self, not realizing and understanding it doesn't matter what you have while you're here on this earth. Oh, we all want nice things. We all want stuff. We all have stuff. Some of us have too much stuff. But what happens to the stuff when we're gone? It no longer belongs to us. There are examples in the Bible as we move forward of abusing time. One of those things is procrastination, and the greatest example of procrastination is found in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. The great procrastinator, Felix, he had the opportunity to hear the word of God at the mouth of Paul. In fact, we know that he kept him bound for a number of years, and he heard him often. But in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, we see, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. In other words, Paul was speaking to him regarding these things. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee. You know, there's so many occurrences of conversion found in the New Testament. One that's not found is Felix. We have no record whatsoever that he ever obeyed the gospel. And he went into eternity thinking, when I have convenient season. He abused his time. What about the foolish virgins of Matthew chapter 25? As we look at that particular passage, we'll see that the kingdom of heaven was likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And we see by the actions of each one, why ones were called wise and why some were called foolish. But notice in verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. That's humanity, isn't it? That's how we all are. Not keeping up on what we should do. But at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, listen, give us of your oil, for our lamps were gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go ye rather to them that are sell and buy for yourselves. Now, this is pretty good advice, because some prepared. And they said, we can't give you our preparation, lest we come up short. So you better hurry and prepare. But guess what? And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came and they were ready, went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Time's up. Kind of like when you're in school. Teacher said, time's up, pencil's down, test is over. They had their opportunity. They didn't prepare while they had the time. They said, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, verily, I know you not. So they abused their time. One of the greatest abuses of time is wasting time. Wasting our time. We think, well, we're doing something. We're not wasting our time. But what are we doing? Sometimes the failure to apply ourselves is a waste of time. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, we'll see this. I heard this all through my early education years. And you young students better listen to this. I know you've heard it from all the other old people. So hear it from me. Apply yourself now. That's what I was told in school. You know, if you would just apply yourself. And I think what turned me against it was the fact that they followed up with you'd have just as good a grade as your sister. But I wasn't interested. Oh, you let a bird fly by the window. I was more interested in that bird than the math that was on the chalkboard. But the idea is that we are to apply ourselves. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Now, there is an importance into finding the right thing to do. But notice, he says, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. When we depart from this earth, time is over for us. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, speaking to Christians, applying to Christians then and now, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus by his authority. But we're to do it now. You know, there's nothing wrong with reading. There's nothing wrong with studying. But reading and studying material that tears down or demoralizes instead of building up is a waste of time. I have books in my library that people have given me, and they have given them to me, thinking this would be a good thing to read. I have to admit that some of these take up space on the shelf, because I've read in them enough to know that they are not in alignment with the Word of God. And to read them would be detrimental. Oh, you have to read some of that. You have to be able to determine what's out there so you can know what to combat. But you can't dwell on it. We are to spend our time reading the Word of God. When we read material that demoralizes instead of building up, it's a waste of time, but it shows that we're a lover possibly of pleasure more than a lover of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 through 5, we'll see this. Talking about the perilous days that will come and have come. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. We say, well, I'm not covetous. What do we do with our time? That would tell whether or not we're covetous. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. We say, well, I'm only one of those things. Well, only it takes is one. And when that is the case, you become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You are those who are having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The instruction is given there to turn away from such. We can't waste our time. One of the things that people do to waste time is to spend much time thinking about past mistakes. Now, we need to look back at the past and we need to see what we need to do differently, but we don't need to dwell on it. They used to do something that aggravated me, and they wanted to do it for every situation, and at the end of a job, they want to do a post-mortem. I said, well, okay, it's a dead job. I guess you can call it that. But you want to go over the mistakes again and again and again, and the point is, look, we did this. We did this wrong. We could have done this better on the next job, which we should have already started. Let's do this. Enough. Don't beat it to death. you look back into the past and you spend so much time. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 is a passage that will help us as we endeavor to do that, as we look at our limited time that's before us and move forward. The apostle said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Not one of us that are here has salvation. Though we have it in promise, those who have been obedient, those who have been baptized into Christ and contacted the blood of Christ, we have the hope of heaven in promise." But that's what Paul was saying here. "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before." Before you are opportunities to serve God. Before you and me are times, places, and people in which we can work towards serving God so that we can go to be with God. You know, I've known people, as you turn to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, that have said, "You know, I don't know that God can forgive me." I've had people say, "You know, you just don't know my life. I've been so bad. I've been so evil. I've been so sinful that I just don't think God can forgive me." Well, that's not what Hebrews 8:12 says. "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Oh, have we sinned? Yes, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are we to stand and look backwards upon all that sin and dwell on it? And say, "You know, I was so bad. I was so sinful." But were we obedient to God? Are we being obedient to God? He's promised that He will be merciful to our unrighteousness. And our sins and our iniquities will He remember no more if we are obedient and remain faithful. We need to turn loose of yesterday, for it's gone. And yes, there are certain things about yesterday that we need to hold to. Memories. You know, we participated in a memorial service here this morning. We are gathered here today to remember. In fact, our table, and many tables in which this is done, says, "This do in remembrance of me." And we are to hold to some things from yesterday. But all of the mistakes, all of the past sins, they're gone. If God has been merciful to us. We waste time by spending time gossiping or listening to gossip. I know the men are thinking right now, "Oh, what are they talking about, the women now?" No. I'm talking about every one of us. Some of the worst gossipers I've ever known have been men. And in fact, that says that I've been guilty of listening to gossip. I didn't think of that when I first said it. But it's a waste of time. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16, God, knowing the heart of man, realizing and understanding that man would participate in such things, lay down the law. "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people." Don't carry gossip. My father-in-law once told me something that I've never forgotten. I don't know that I've always heeded it, but I've never forgotten it. He said, "The dog that brings a bone will take a bone." Now think about it. Somebody brings you gossip, zip it. Because what you say is moving on. We are not to participate in gossip. He goes on to say in that particular passage, "Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord." In Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 22, we find what the words of a talebearer, that there are as wounds. You know, when we were children in school, and all of us have participated in this or have had this done to us, people would say things that would hurt us and harm us, and we'd go crying, and their parents would say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me." That's the biggest lie a parent's ever told. Now, is it irreparable harm? No, it's not. But it's important. The Bible even teaches this. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. I've actually had the unfortunate situation in which I was beat up a few times. In a day or two, I was over it. had a scar or two, a scratch or two. But nothing has ever hurt so badly as the words people have used sometimes. Too much time is wasted in decision processing. I used to tell folks at work, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Don't spend so much time thinking about it, processing the decision. Now, we're not supposed to go through life making hasty decisions. I knew a man, he was a friend of mine, and a situation was presented to him. Invariably, he would do this. He would look up and to the right, on both fingers, and say, this is what we're going to do. Well, now, in a lot of times, you would realize and understand this was a hasty decision. It depends on the circumstances and the situation. My car didn't start. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy a car. No, I'm going to find out why it didn't start, and if I can just replace the battery instead of buying a whole new car, why not? Just don't make hasty decisions, but neither should we drag out the decision. I don't walk for 3 weeks before I go buy me a car or find a way to get a car. We don't need to drag things out. Oftentimes, mistakes are made by hasty decisions, and other mistakes are made by waiting too long to act upon your decision. Think, if you will, since we're talking about time, about the man who said, just like Felix did, when I have convenient season, I'll be obedient to the gospel. Well, I'm a little bit busy right now. I'm trying to get my education. Well, I'm a little too busy because I got married. Now I'm a little too busy because I've got to work. And guess what? There's babies on the way. And I drag it out. And drag it out. I've talked to people and said, you know what? I know I need to obey the gospel. My same question has always been the same. Why don't you? What are you waiting for? That's a mistake. Now, we don't want people to hear the gospel one time and just run forward and say, here, dump me in the water. I want to be saved. They need to understand why they're being baptized. They need to understand what it is that is going on. They don't need to understand everything about it. They need to understand that they're lost. And they need to understand that there's a Savior available. And that they can access the blood of that Savior by being baptized into Christ. But they need to also understand that as we go through the remainder of our time here on this earth, that there are obligations and responsibilities that are given to us as the people of God. Now, how do you use your time? We often hear, I just do not have time. We all have the same amount of time in the day, in the month, in the year. How we use our time is the important factor. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, if you'll turn there with me, we'll see the conclusion of the matter, and I'll conclude this sermon because I don't want to get into negative preaching. It's almost noon. The writer of Ecclesiastes was given these words by the Spirit for us. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, you have some time today. Lord willing, you have a lot of time today, the remainder of it. But you have some time. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to fear God? Are you going to keep His commandments? Well, there are some commandments that you need to be aware of. And I can help you out in short order. There are some commandments as to how that you can become a child of God today. Not making a hasty decision, being made aware of the conditions of salvation, but not dragging it out until the time that you leave this earth and are not prepared. The Bible teaches us that for a person to come to God, they must hear that word. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Incidentally, once a person becomes a child of God, it's their responsibility and should be their privilege to take the gospel to others. But we're also to believe, as Jesus said in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Having heard and believed, one is to repent In Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, we find these words, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Friends, we need to understand, having heard, having believed, having repented does not blot your sins out. There's something else you must do. What is it? Well, the first thing one must do is confess. Confess what? That very thing that we are to believe, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10 and verses 32 and 33. And then one is to be baptized. Oh, I know there's so many people that spend a great deal of time teaching that one does not have to be baptized. But 1 Peter 3:21 makes it so clear that you cannot miss it. "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Doing those things, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and being baptized puts you into a covenant relationship with God, the joint heir with Christ. And now is the time to do that. Having done that, a person is to remain faithful unto death. 2 Peter 2:20 and 21. Won't bother to read that particular passage, but the latter end is worse for them than the beginning if they depart from the faith. Know this also, for those who have done this, spent their time in an improper way and not remained faithful, God offers this day, at this time, the opportunity to come back to Him through repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. What are you going to do with your time? Oh, I don't mean this afternoon. You can take a nap and all that kind of thing. What are you going to do right now? Behold, now is the day of salvation. It can be yours. All you need to do is follow God's commandments. Spend your time wisely. And if you need to respond, won't you come as together we stand and sing the invitation song.